Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Hello and welcome. This is Tim, the Overseer. Welcome to Reign and Love Ministries. That's R-E-I-G-N. Reign as in we reign in Christ forever. Amen. We reign with him for all eternity. It's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to be back on the air. It is a blessing to be in the land of the living. Amen. I have my co-host here with me, the watchman on the wall, Elder Brazar. Amen. We thank the Most High for that brother and his words and his encouragement and his spiritual wisdom and knowledge in the word and for sharing that wisdom and knowledge with us. Amen. We get ready to teach on eschatology. That is the study of end things. We're going to be talking about the book of Revelation and things that are currently going on in this world. Amen. So we just hang on to your seats. We are grateful for the listeners, grateful for you being here and just giving us your time. Amen. You don't have to because we know that you could be doing something else. Amen. But you're here to hear what thus said the Lord. Amen. So we're happy to have you here. I'm going to go ahead and go ahead and say a quick prayer. But before I do, amen, I'm going to read from the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to read the context of love written by Paul. Amen. We know that the world needs what? A lot of love, especially right now with a lot of things that are going on. We don't want the saints to lose heart. We definitely don't want you to lose focus. Amen. Keep your eyes on the prize. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and read the context written by Paul. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, into 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter. This is what it reads. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunted not itself. Is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, but darkly. See through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now about it, faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity.
Amen.
Charity meaning love. Amen. Amen. I'm going to say a quick prayer. Then I'm going to turn over to the brother, Elder Bazard. Amen. He's going to talk to us today. Amen. And brother's right. Amen. There is a food shortage going on. Amen. So for everyone that's been spending their money on shoes and clothes and other things, getting ready for the party. Amen. I hope you've been getting ready, stocking up, getting you a storehouse or a shed or something, storing up for some food and some groceries and some important items because, amen, it could get rough here in the next few months with this pending possibility of a war that can happen at any moment, any minute, any day, and any time. So before we get into it, amen, before I turn over to the brother, let me go ahead and say a quick word of prayer to the Most High God, Yahweh. Amen. We thank you for his son, Yahshua, for his, amen, for his ultimate sacrifice of love and redeeming man. He sacrificed himself so that I may have life and that you may have life and have life more abundantly. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another blessed day. We thank you for this day that you said that we should be here, dear Heavenly Father, and we are grateful for your grace and your mercy, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for there are so many that didn't wake to see this day, dear Heavenly Father, for they may have passed on yesterday in the night hours, on the wee hours in the morning, dear Heavenly Father. We just come thanking you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the saints, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for sparing us and keeping us. We come praying for those that are lost, dear Heavenly Father, that they may find salvation before it is too late, dear Heavenly Father. For we love everyone, and we're praying for everyone. We're praying for this world, dear Heavenly Father, for the things that it's going through. We just come praying for more of your grace and your mercy in this hour, dear Heavenly Father. We bless and praise your holy name, dear Heavenly Father. Send your Holy Spirit, dear Heavenly Father, to lead us and guide us, dear Heavenly Father, and to speak through us, and let's be vessels that are used, dear Heavenly Father, for your kingdom. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. Go ahead, brother, and talk about that. Amen. Talk about that. Amen. Whatever you want to talk about, amen. But you're right, brother.
All right.
There is famine. Go ahead.
We're going to break the ice. We're going to break the ice with the greatest sacrifice that ever made to mankind. No other sacrifice is greater than the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God sent his only son. He don't have no more sons, amen, other than himself, because Jesus Christ is. Don't forget it now. Don't forget it. What I'm telling you here is biblical. Everything I'm telling you here comes from heaven. What I'm telling you here didn't come from nowhere else but the glories of glories, and that's from heaven. That is Jesus Christ, the greatest gift to mankind, because man, amen, will perish. Man will perish without God. The only way that a man can go to God is through his son, Jesus Christ. What did his son do? His son died on Calvary. He suffered. He was beaten. He was almost annihilated. They made him look like a piece of meat hanging on a stick, and they disregard that who he was. They disregard that he is God Almighty in the flesh, hanging on the cross, made a greatest sacrifice for what? For the sins of man. And that's what God hates. God hates sin. He hates it so bad. He hates it with a divine passion. He hates sin. Because sin is not of God. Sin is of the devil. Sin is of Lucifer. Sin is of man. Because man took up on the nature of the sin nature when Adam and Eve messed around in the garden. Oh, my God. They didn't obey what God told them to do. They was curious. And Satan made it look like that God was holding something back from humanity. And Eve was saying, oh, that tree looks so wonderful. Oh, man, look at it. It's gorgeous. It's wonderful. And Satan said, I know I can't get to man because man knows, amen, knows what God said. But I'm going to deceive the woman because the woman is the weaker vessel. The woman is the weaker vessel. Don't try to change it. Don't try to say a woman is stronger than a man. In some qualities, yes. But God put man at the head of creation. God Amen. Made man first. And when he made woman, he took the dust out of the ground and took one of Adam's rib and made woman. And when he made woman, he brought it to Adam, and Adam said, bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And let me get something straight right now. Because it's biblical. God did not bring another man in the garden and say, hey, Adam, here's your partner. God didn't do that.
Right.
So he listened to me. And God ain't changed one bit. And he's from the ions of the ions of the eons. He's from eternity. And God will not, cannot, dare not to change. And he made Adam and Eve, which means mother of the living. She would bring forth children. Two men. Ooh, let me get it straight, because a lot of people just took up on this, church folks, and just shook the hands of a lesbian, and shook the hands of the gays, and shook the hands of the incest folks, and say, oh, come on in. God still loves you. Yes, God loves you, but one thing God don't love, he don't love sin. And if sin is dwelling in you, You're going to have to pay the penalty for sin, and the wages of sin is death, separation from God. And if you're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, you got to have an emancipator. You got to have a reconciliator.
Amen.
You got to have somebody that can redeem you back to God. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can redeem black people, white people, yellow people, Chinese, Japanese, Russian. He's the only man that can bring the humanity back to God. So now
that's
you
right.
got 3,000, over 3,000 different kinds of religion that man is saying that I can reach God. But you can't reach God unless you come to the cross. And the cross
that's
of
right.
Christ, is Jesus Christ paid for what? Sin, S-I-N. What is sin? Sin is transgression against God's law. Sin, all unrighteousness is sin. Anybody that rejects Jesus Christ and walk in unbelief is sinning. If you are an unbeliever, you are a sinner. You can't stop sinning. You don't want to stop sinning. The only way you can stop sinning is you've got to hate sin. And that's what man don't know. Man don't want to hate sin because sin is pleasurable. Sin is do what I want to do. Sin is, oh, man. But after it gets through with you, woo, it'll rip
that's
your
right.
heart out. It'll rip your mind away. It'll rip everything you got. It'll make you worse than an animal. And man has almost come lower than an animal. Men are killing babies. They're going porno. They're going illicit sex. They're going wife swapping. They're going sex orgies. They're going incest. They're
right.
going sodomy. They're going crazy. People are worshiping idols. They're worshiping everything but the true, living, holy God. And if you're going to worship God, you must worship him in spirit. And in truth, if you talk, you're going to have walking around talking about you love the Lord and you hate your brother, you're walking in yourself. You're walking under an influence of the devil because the Bible says God is love. God has always been love. He always will be love. And if a man
That's
say
right.
he loves God and hate his brother, and this means your brother, that means all your nationality, all the nationality of the world is your brother as far as born from one to a woman and a man, Adam and Eve, because we all born of one blood. But we all are brothers in the sense that we come from the same human race. But to be brothers in Christ, you got to be born again. If you have not been born again, then you're not my brother. You're only my brother according to the flesh. But you got to be my brother according to the spirit. And let me tell you something. The only way you can become my brother or I can become your brother in Christ, I got to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior because the Spirit of God
Amen.
Is the only thing that can take away sin. S-I-N. God hates sin so much he had to destroy nations. He almost had to destroy Israel. He don't destroy a nation up on top of nation because they have rejected what? His righteousness, his holiness. They have rejected his love. They have rejected his sacrifice. The world is a Christ-rejecting world. And a lot of people say, why the world is in such a shape it is? Why? Because they're under influence of the great, woo, the great cherubim of all times, Lucifer. Lucifer, slew Lucifer, low down, dirty, rotten, conniving sucker before he became the devil. He was the most gorgeous angel in heaven. He was the utopia of the utopia. He was the music man. He was the gardens of God's throne. He was over the all the other angels that was in heaven with him. He had a second position to be the protector of God's throne. He had the first position to be the director of the choir. He had the first position to be the greatest musician that ever lived in the heavenly being. And now he has become corrupt because he thought he could rule God, dethrone God, curse God, reject God, and take his throne. Now, wait a minute. You mean to tell me the cherubim, Lucifer, believe himself that he could rule the world and take God's throne? And the only thing that got him in trouble, let me tell you what it is. The thing that got Lucifer in trouble in the Bible of the book of Ezekiel the 28th chapter, he says, because of your beauty, because of your gorgeous looks, because of your immaculate look, you was out of sight. Man, that sucker had a strut on him. He had rhythm. He had everything. He had the wisdom and knowledge. He knew who created him. He knew who he spoke. He knew that God spoke nothing to nothing, and he became something. And when he became something, he thought he was too much for himself. So what he did, he tried to dethrone God. And guess what he's doing today? He's still trying to dethrone God. The fool is a fool. He lost his battle. He is done. You talking about a biscuit being done in the stove? This critter is done. Not only did he rebel against God, he took one third of the angelic beings in heaven, put them in the prince power of the air. Where are they now? They're in first and second heaven. First and second heaven is in the clouds, and he's in the galaxy. And now he's in first and second heaven. Rule has been the prince power of the air, and he has a host of wicked, demonic, demons, fallen angels that's ruling the world right now. Oh, a lot of people say, well, God, seems like God don't want to sleep. Well, God ain't want to sleep. No, sir. You talking to the wrong God. But the God that I'm talking about is the God of eternity. I'm talking about Yahweh. I'm talking about the God of gods and the Lord. I'm talking about the self-existent one. I'm talking about the one that's omnipotent, omnipresent. I'm talking about the one that's immutable. I'm talking about the one who is a father of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the one that became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. I'm talking about the one that was born in Bethlehem of Judea. I'm talking about the one that walked on the water and calmed the raging sea. I'm talking about the one that collected and got 12 disciples and called them to preach the gospel. I'm talking about the one that took Calvary's cross. Woo! That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the one that took Calvary's cross. Because nobody could take it. Nobody could take it. And let me tell you, angels cannot bring redemption. I'm gonna lay that down now. The devil cannot redeem mankind. You understand what I'm saying? The devil cannot redeem mankind and save him from sin, because he became sin by being disobedient, and he cannot be converted. He does not have a blood system. He is a ministering a hierarchy of a cherubim angel. So there the devil is doomed. The devil is doomed to end up in hell, the lake of fire. He knows he's going there. He knows he can't repent. He knows the only way. Ooh, yes, he does. He knows the only way that a man can ever enter the kingdom of God and live with God forever. He knows that if he goes to the cross, he has lost that soul. He has lost that soul for eternity, because the Bible says you are born again. You are born in the flesh once, and you're born in the spirit once. And the Bible said, Jesus said, ye must be born again. He wasn't talking about physical birth. He was talking about a spiritual birth. Your soul, your spirit must be born again. You must have a new creature. You must be a new creature. You must have a regenerated heart. You must be sanctified from what? From sin. From what? From gambling, from whoremongering, from adultery. Saved from what? From backbiting. Hypocrite. Saved from racial injustice and prejudice. Saved from what? Saved and have the life. The life of Jesus Christ in your life. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, like the Bible says, and you die, you're on your way to hell. My friends, you're on your way to hell. I don't care if you're the Pope. I don't care if you're the Bishop. I don't care if you're the preachers of preachers. I could be, hey, just because I'm a preacher, that don't mean I'm going to heaven. Ooh, there's a lot of preachers preaching. Ooh, I have not accepted Jesus Christ. There's a lot of church members have not accepted Jesus Christ. They're going to church. They're singing in the choir. They're taking the collection. They go home. They're doing that compete. But they have never told anybody about the power of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. I've been born again. I know Brother Tim. Brother Tim has been born again. You know why I know? Because he wants to tell everybody. He wants to tell everybody about the power that Jesus has. And the power is to do one thing. Save my soul. My soul. I only got one. I ain't no rehearsals. I can't go back to baby and go back into my mother's womb and stay there. I've been born according to the flesh, and I'm here forever until Jesus Christ comes. And if I have to be born again, I'm going to be here forever with God Almighty through his son, Jesus Christ. Ye must be born again. Come on. You can belong to every secret society you can think of. You can belong to all the man organizations. You can belong to the Masonry. You can belong to the secret society. You can belong to the Rosenberg. You can be a rich Jew or you can be a poor Jew. You can be a rich black man or a poor black man. I don't care how great you are on this face of this earth. My Bible tells me you must be born again. I'm pressing that. I'm pressing that. You know why I'm pressing that? Because the church preachers ain't pressing it. If you leave this world, if you leave this world without Christ, you're going to end up. I don't care how much Bible prophecy I preach. I don't care how much I shout. I don't care how much I claim to know Jesus Christ. If I really know him, it's going to prove the fact that I know him. And if you don't know him, I don't care how many good works you do. If you don't know him and have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you lay on your pillow tonight, and you go on to glory or go on to the pit of hell, there's only two ways you can go. You can go to heaven or you can go to hell. And if you don't believe it, go back and talk to Jesus. And when you talk to Jesus, Jesus said, I got an episode for you. He said there was a rich man and there was a poor man. And the poor man didn't have no food. And the poor man wanted some food. He was full of sores. And he went to the rich man to ask him, could he have the garbage out of the garbage can? And the rich man was so rich and so powerful. He had everything he needed. He knew in his heart that he didn't know. He knew he didn't know God, but he claimed God. And you know a lot of people claim God today, but they don't know him. They try to know him through their own works. They try to know him by being good. They try to know him by shaking the preacher's hand. They try to know him by going to church. But you can't know Jesus but by one way, and that is the cross. And when you come to the cross, you can be saved. But this rich man, the Bible says the rich man, the poor man died. And an angel, a glorious angel, was shipped out of heaven. Came down more accurate than the ESP, came down more accurate than FedEx. And he caught a hold of old Lazarus and took Lazarus into Abraham's bosom in paradise. And then the Bible says, listen to what the Bible says. I ain't talking about no comic book. I'm talking about no DC comic. I'm not talking about no Ebony magazine. I'm not talking about no dictionary. I'm not talking about Britannica World Encyclopedia. I'm talking about the Bible. The greatest book that ever was written by God through holy men, and they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And there is no
right.
You can't erase it. You can't drown it. You can't bury it. I don't care, because Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will abide forever. And what's going on the face of the earth today is Bible prophecy, everything that you see. And they tell you what happened. And the rich man died. And when the rich man died, no angel came and got his soul. His soul went straight to hell. Why? Because one of Lucifer's angels, fallen angels, took it. And that man, there's no power, because when you die without Jesus Christ, Satan got you. And
right.
He took him to hell. He lifted up his eyes in hell, H-E-L-L. And if you want to go a little further, I'll put some O-L, hell. Yes, he went to hell, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw who? He saw Lazarus, and he said, Lazarus, tell Abraham to come on down here, and on his way down, send me some water. I don't want a glass of water. I don't want a barrel of water. I don't want a river of water. I just want a little bit of water on the tip of your finger and touch my tongue, for this flame, is torturing me. This flame is tormenting me. Please help me. Go tell my five brothers that don't come to this place. And he said, I can't tell your five brothers. If they got prophets and the scriptures on top side of the earth and they don't believe, how in the world they going to believe that a man sent a letter from hell that told me to tell you, don't come here? They're not going to believe that. And the way the world is today, that's what they're doing. Because people say, I don't believe in no hell. Man, I ain't going to hell. I'm too good to go to hell. Look, I'm having too much of a hard life. to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Yeah, I don't care how many hard life you got. I don't care how sweet you are. I don't care how calm you are. I don't care how rich you are. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ is not a liar. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to God Almighty unless he come by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, ye must be born again. My friends, I had to put this in here this evening, dealing you and let you know, except you repent and turn away from sin, God is going to have to destroy you. He's going to have to eliminate you. God don't want to do that. God don't want to do that. He don't want to send nobody to hell. And he,
that's right.
In fact, he's not going to send nobody to hell. You're going to send yourself. You'll go yourself. And you're going yourself because you reject the sacrifice. He paid for your sins. And if he paid for your sins, the only way, amen, you can get the receipt and get the substance is repent and turn from your wickedness, your wicked self. Oh, Lord, I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about myself, too. I used to be wicked. I used to think evil thoughts, do evil things, do tricks on people. Did all that crap. But when Jesus Christ came into my life, he changed that 180 degrees, and I no longer have hung. I got the power over sin, death, and the grave by the power of Jesus Christ and nobody else. My friends, we're living in the last day. I'm going to give me 5 more minutes, brother, and we're gonna get into Bible prophecy. But I want to instill to you, the cross of Jesus Christ is the only way a man could enter into the kingdom of God. I can't enter in by denomination. I'm going to enter in by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now we're living in the last days. And the latest great prophecy is in the book of the 38th and 39th chapter of Ezekiel. That's the latest great prophecy of the end time. And that is God's Magog, Meshach, and Tubal. And now it is taking place in the Middle East. It's taking place on the Ukraine border. It's taking place in Jerusalem. It's taking place in Syria. It's taking place on all those eastern countries right now that Putin is planning to invade the Ukraine country. To why? He wants to take over that country because he's got another evil plan to do later on this year that will come to a head around in the months of September and October. Because September and October is what? It's a sharp month. It's a devastating month. Ooh, I know you think I'm crazy. I ain't crazy. I ain't lazy. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. We're living in the end time. We're living in the time just before the rapture. The rapture is just about ready to occur. It's going to be like a twinkle of an eye. The dead in Christ is going to rise, and we that remain alive going to be caught up to meet the Lord in air. Hey, I'm just going by what the Bible says. And if you ain't going by the Bible, guess what? You're lost. If you ain't reading God's word and studying God's word and living in God's word and know God's word, you are lost. You are lost. You don't think it's going to happen. And that's why we got a lot of people that is laughing at a preacher preaching the unadulterated word of God. It's holiness or hell. If you want to go to heaven, you got to be holy. If you want to go to hell, just stay like you are. And if you stay like you are and die like you are and live like you are, guess what? Flames of fire is waiting for you in the place called Gehenna. Whatever you do, Brother Apple, Brother Banana, Brother Orange, please don't go to hell. Go anywhere. Go around the house. Go anywhere. Go downtown. Go anywhere. Go up in the coal mine. Go somewhere. But don't go to hell because you won't get out. It's hot. It's tormenting. And Jesus loves you so much and did so much for you and me and for the whole world. He did so much that nobody else could do. He loved you so much that he was willing to die and be crucified. Dropped his head between the locks of his shoulder, went down into the bowels of hell for you. Come up on the third day morning with what? All power in his hand. And he's coming back again to get a what? get a born-again believer, baptized, filled the Holy Ghost church, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Please, go anywhere, but don't go to hell. Don't die and go to hell. You can enjoy life without living in sin. Uh-oh, you can enjoy life without living in sin. Don't be a fool. Come to Jesus Christ. Repent and believe that God loves you so much that he wants to see you living with him forever in heaven. Go ahead, brother. Walk with it.
Amen. Amen, brother. All glory be to the Most High God. Amen. The time is drawing near. Amen. Our Lord and Savior. Amen. As one man said, amen, the time may be closer than what we think. Amen. That's what my brother said. Amen. Last week, amen. I said, amen, brother. I said, I believe you're right. The time may be closer than what we think. Amen. It's time out for playing. We have been at this now almost two full years to warn the church, to warn the saints, and to also warn the lost. Christ is soon to return, and that the great tribulation, we are on the doorsteps of the great tribulation. Amen. We're about to enter a seven-year period. But before that can happen, the church, amen, will not be here. Amen.
Come on.
Christ gave John, amen, a warning to the seven churches. Amen. This was the seven churches at the time of John's day, and they was to represent the church age. These seven churches was to represent all the churches throughout the church age. You had the church of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and the church of Laodicea, which is the last of the seven churches. Amen, which we believe that that's the church age that we are in. And you can see it right now. Amen. And Christ is not happy. Amen. He is not happy with this last church. Amen. This last church is focused on everything but salvation and love, the cross, the blood. Amen.
Come on,
because this is what it takes, amen, to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You must be saved. Amen. Nicodemus came to Christ, and Christ, he told him, he said, what must I do to be saved? Amen. And to enter into the kingdom. He told him, amen, you must be born again, and you must be born again. Amen. Now, you can only be born again one time. Now, we know that those folks are preaching this foolishness that, amen, that you can lose your salvation. That is not true. How many times can you come out of your mother's womb? That's why Christ gave him the example that he used. Because you only need to be born one time. And once you are born again, you are part of the kingdom of God. How many times can a child come through his mother's womb? I've not ever known or ever heard throughout history that a child can re-enter his mother's womb and come out again over and over again. That is impossible. That is not the way God designed it, nor did he design for Christ to come down here and to die for our sins, and that we need to keep getting saved over and over. Once you accept the cross, that is it. You are saved. Amen. People are preaching this foolishness because that's exactly what it is. If it hits you, let it hit you. Because it's the truth. Amen. The Bible says we say the truth shall what? Set you free. And that's true, the truth. Amen. So we want to set your soul free from worrying about if you're saved or not. It just makes me cringe, especially when I see mature elderly saints, people been in the church 40 and 50 years, say, I hope I'm saved. I hope I go. It just makes me cringe, brother. Amen. I'm like, man, what do you mean? You've been in church 40, 50 years. You got the same book that I got. You don't know if you're going to heaven or not. Lord have mercy. What are we teaching and preaching to the people in this world? The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. I know that I am saved. I know that when the trumpet sound, that I'm either going to rise, or if I'm alive and remain, I shall be caught up to be with the Lord forevermore. I know that because I have accepted him as my Lord and Savior, Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. I have accepted the Lord as my Savior. Amen. There's no need for me to look back. There's nothing in the world that I want. I don't love the world, amen, that I want to lose my soul, that I want to be here when the trumpets sound. I don't love the world like that. This world can do nothing for me. It can give me nothing. Amen. I have already received the greatest gift, which is eternal life. Romans, the 10th chapter. If you want to know how to become saved today, amen. If you want to know how to miss the great tribulation, because there is no escape, amen. My other brother came in the other week talking about how people are buying up shelters and barns. Said, bro, you saying the same thing I've been saying on my show. He's saying that people are out here buying, they moving out to a way out. Somebody tell them something, brother. Amen. Somebody knows something, and they are aware of the scripture. Even the so-called elite know what's about to happen. You got people that have collected money. They moving way out to the far out lands from the cities. They move way out into the deep country, way off the road, way off the grid is what they call it. They off the grid. And they are digging bunkers into the earth. Man, y'all not trying to hear me what I'm saying to you. I work for the bank. Man, people got more money than what you think. I've seen people got $50,000, $100,000, millions of dollars in their account. They helping family members. Man, they are digging bunkers into the earth. What do you think they're about to do? They're about to hide. They think that they can hide from what's about to hit this planet. And I don't care if it's nuclear bombs. I don't care if it's starvation and famine. I don't care if it's pestilence. I don't care if it's demons. You will not be able to hide from the wrath of God. As it says in Revelation, amen, I believe it's the 6th chapter. Amen. He says, who shall be able to stand? No one can stand against the wrath of God. And for they shall be running. The great men, the great kings and captains of this earth, of this planet, is going to be running and say, hide me from the face of him that's set upon the throne, because God is going to be mad. And you best believe, man, when it comes down, you better have your soul right. You better be walking with the Lord. You better be on our side, amen. So therefore, when the trumpets sound, amen, you don't have to deal with that. I don't want the wrath of God on me.
Amen.
I don't want the wrath of God on me, amen. I remember when I was a kid, and you know when you mess up, you do something. You know when daddy get home, you know that man is going down. Amen. And I didn't want to deal with daddy when he was mad. When he got to work an eight-hour shift, 10-hour shift. Amen. He probably dealt with them folks up on the job, and he had to come home and hear something about me. Oh, you know you finna get it, amen. So you don't have them parents like that no more. They ain't tired. They get off work, man. They finna work you over for cutting up. Amen. You wouldn't cut up no more. If you did, you wait a while before you did. Amen. It wasn't no cutting up off in our household. Amen. My dad and mom deal with 6 boys, raised 6 men. Amen. You can best believe you know what it was like in there. It was like a drill sergeant. He wasn't playing. Amen. He wasn't taking nothing from us. Amen. He was a man of God. He feared God. Amen. My mom was his wife. Amen. She feared God. She played the piano in the church. Amen. He was a deacon for many years, and then the Lord called him to minister and to eventually become a pastor of a church. And then I thank God for my parents every single day. Even though they're long gone, I thank God for them, because you want to know why?
Amen.
They have gave
Amen.
Me this spiritual blessing. That's right, doctor. Amen. They have passed
Amen.
On a spiritual blessing. And not a curse, a blessing. They have taught me about salvation. They have taught me about Christ. They have taught me about Yahweh, taught me about Yahshua. They taught me about the angels in heaven. They taught me about the devil. Man, I have learned so much from my parents, my dad. Amen. I just thank them for their leadership in our home and guide us into leading us to where we are today. Amen. As men. And that, therefore, that spiritual DNA just transfer it over to my kids and my grandkids. Amen. Thank you so much, because why? I continue to preach and teach salvation because it is so important. I remember the way my dad used to act, doctor. He used to be a loving man. Amen. This ain't boasting or bragging, but it's not boasting and bragging if it's the truth. How about that? If it's the truth, it ain't boasting or bragging. Amen. I remember people used to say and still say to this day, man, even me myself, amen, I still say to this day, man, that was a man to be like, amen, because he was a man that loved the Lord, amen. We just want to teach this word. We want people to become saved. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and get some scriptures. Amen. We're going to go ahead and talk about, first, how can you escape, amen, this thing that's about to hit the planet. Amen. The food shortages
amen.
Are here. Amen. The brother yeah. talked about how they're locking up meat. Now, you know that's bad when they have to lock up meat. People are stealing in these stores. They got now. I wonder why I was in the store. They're like, why they got a police officer in here? I think it was in Walmart. That was the strangest thing to me, bro. I've never seen a police officer just standing in the Walmart. I'm like, what's going on? So it has to be something going on out here in this world. They are monitoring people a lot more. I don't go out much no more like I used to because of this pandemic. I try to stay out the way, amen. I try to, you know, just stay to myself and to my family. And I go only when I need to, not when I want to. Amen. I got other places I go hang out if I just need to get out and move around. Amen. But
yeah,
call this police officer in the store, and it never dawned on me. I'm like, why is there an officer here in the store? It never dawned on me because of the way things are getting. And everybody's beginning, not everybody, but there's quite a few people beginning to say the stealing has been increased. People are stealing
yeah.
more. I know that for a fact because I work at the bank. And there's food shortages. So you know
food
what's about to happen. Man, you talking about you want people to cut up? You think folks cut up on Black Friday when they want to fight over a flat-screen TV? Man, you let
come
them
on.
Tell these folks. Come on, doctor. You let them
come
tell
on.
These people there ain't no meat in the store. My God, these folks going to tear these stores up. Ain't no meat. These folks are meat eaters. They,
no,
yes,
on,
they are them. Meat. You let them tell them there ain't enough cow and chicken in the store. These folks
come
gonna
on,
cut up, brother. Tell them there ain't no cow and chicken in the store. These folks about to tear up the store and everything else. And you better be careful, amen, because folks out here is crazy. We've been announcing since last year, make sure that you don't just be out roaming free, amen, and don't think that sometimes people ain't watching, especially if you're out at night. Amen, I definitely avoid going out after the sun goes down because there's no need for me to be out. Amen, I'm here at the house with my wife and kids. And I'm enjoying life, but I'm praying for you all that have to be out there. Maybe your situation is a little different. I'm praying for you. Trust me, I am, because, man, it's like we've been saying, and as you've been watching, we've been saying since this thing kicked off almost 2 years ago, we don't see it getting better. That's in the spirit. We only see this thing getting worse, and we can see it right now. Now we're about to
right now.
Possibly be at war. Amen. Right now we're about to possibly be at war. Now, 2 years ago, we wasn't talking about no war. We weren't talking about other viruses and things of this. We weren't talking about food shortages and things of that nature. Everybody was just trying to buy toilet tissue. I don't know where that came from, that everybody felt like I was just trying to buy water and vitamin C and get some whatever juice. Because they talk this virus, I would say, man, I need water toilet juice. We don't really need that much toilet tissue. I mean, why everybody so bent on getting toilet tissue? But then, you know, we saw the changes that have come with this virus. Banks are struggling. Yes, they are. Don't think they're not. Banks are struggling. People's employment rate. People are leaving jobs, changing careers. Some people are just downsizing. They're getting rid of two cars and living in one car. And then they're talking about the housing market. The inflation
on,
is going to cause, amen, I saw this stuff down in the news. Inflation is up 7%. 7%. You may not think inflation, 7% inflation is high. That's high. Let me trust. 7% inflation
yes,
is high.
Yes,
amen. Your gas price almost was $2 last year. Now we at $3. And pretty soon, probably by the summer month, we probably looking at $4. A gallon, Lord have mercy. $4 to $5, amen, because in California, I think a man told me they're over $5 a gallon. I said, man, you can have that. Over $5 a gallon, you wouldn't go nowhere. Amen, that's when working from home becomes handy. Amen. And so we think about these things, inflation. the housing market. A lot of people, they talk about how in Canada most of the mortgages are adjustable rate mortgages, and they're talking about the interest rate may adjust 3 to 5 times just between now and 2023. If that happens, you ain't gonna be able to stay in your house. You can't afford you plan for $1,000 to $1,500 a month mortgage. Your mortgage just went up $500 to $1,000 more. Who can afford that in their budget unless you start walking, working, catching an Uber everywhere you go? Because at that point, you won't need a car. Amen. Because I know that a house is more important. Amen. When it push comes to shove, a roof of your head is more important than a car. Amen. But some folks say, hey, I can live in a car. They may work if you're single. But if you got children, you can't live in the car. And the government and the city officials and the policing services and CPS, which is the Child Protective Services. I don't know what they're called in every other place, but here in Texas, we call it the Child Protective Services. They're not going to allow you to live in a car with children, amen? And so the world is about, this is why God, when those trumpets sound, the children will be gone because people are going to go nuts. They're going to be taking their own lives. They ain't going to know what to do. But man, let me tell you something. It's about to hit the fan, brother. It's about to hit.
Man.
Amen. We ain't playing with you. God ain't playing with man. I'm going to tell you right now, you better repent. Amen. You better receive salvation today. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yahshua, and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation is just that simple. Don't let no devil trick you and think, oh, it take more. I remember I had a preacher tell me once, oh, it take more than that, brother. I said, okay, brother, well, if you believe that, I sure hate it for you, because, no, Christ did the hard part. Christ did the work. When he died on the cross, that was the work for your salvation.
Yeah,
works have nothing to do with salvation, amen?
Come on,
nothing to do with salvation. All you have to do is believe, amen. Once you believe, the Holy Spirit will hit you faster than you can think, faster than you can blink, faster than a bolt of lightning, amen. The Holy Spirit and you will have become one with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are saved and sealed, amen, to the day of redemption, amen, till we see Christ. You will see, you will say. So that part is already taken care of, amen. Now, there may be some more things that you need to earn out, which Paul talked about. Amen. You may have a mouth problem. You may have the bad mouth. Amen. God going to work on that. Amen. You may have an eye problem. Amen. You can't control your eyeballs. Amen. God going to work on that. Amen. Amen. You may have a walking problem, meaning that you go places where you ain't got no business going. Amen. God will work on that. Amen. So, see, the Holy Spirit, that's why Paul said that you must work out your what? Soul salvation. What he's saying is you have to deliver yourself from these things of the world, amen. Once you become a mature, amen, perfect, amen, mature believer, amen, those things will be worked out and worked on, amen. That's what Paul was talking about, amen, that you have to work out your own salvation, meaning that you have to work on your own mind. You have to be disciplined. How do you discipline yourself, amen, from these things? That's what fasting and praying is for, and standing your scripture, studying the word, amen. Study to show thyself approved, amen. I'm going to tell you right now, if you can control your hunger, you can control any lust of the flesh. That's what fasting is for. If you can push away from the table, say, no, I'm going to fast today. I'm not going to eat nothing. I may just drink me some few cups of water, but I'm going to pray with the Lord and read my word. Amen. Once you become that disciplined, can't no devil in hell stop you. Amen. Because you know that amen. You see, when Satan came to Christ, he came to him after 40 days of fasting. Woo. Amen. He tried to tempt him. But he was little did the devil know that he was at the stronghold. If he would have came to him, amen, on the first day, amen. But we know that Christ, amen, he is powerful, amen. He, even though he was man, he had the Spirit of God in him, amen. He had the mind of God. Satan couldn't defeat him on the first or the 40th day. But the point I'm making is that the devil have a better chance approaching you on your first day of fasting than he does on your 40th day. Because, hey, man, once you get to your 40th day, You are unstoppable. You don't hear what I'm saying. You are unstoppable. Amen. Once you get to 40 days, you are strong. You didn't came this far. Ain't no need for you to turn around. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen. So dealing with these seven churches, amen, dealing with these seven churches, we talked about Ephesus. Amen. I'm going to talk a little bit about the church of Smyrna. Amen. Then we're going to dip over to the fourth chapter of Revelation. We want to talk about heaven. Amen. Why do we want to talk about heaven? Amen. Amen. We assume heaven. We're going to get to see the beautiful place that we call heaven. See, it's a reality now. Amen. Yes, doctor. It's a reality. It ain't all talk no more. See, before people would talk about heaven, and that's right, people would talk about going to heaven, going up the yonder. Hey, guess what? It's a reality. Amen. We'll be going to heaven. We'll be going up to see the Lord. Amen. We'll be going before the throne of God. We will go to receive our reward that he has for us. Amen. We'll get to see the host of heaven, which is the angels. And who else? Amen. The 24. But we'll be part of the 24 elders, the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. Amen. Amen. So Smyrna, what was Smyrna? Smyrna is the second church mentioned out of the seven churches. This was a commercial center of Asia Minor. The city of Smyrna was on the direct route from India and Persia to Rome. It was therefore a wealthy and busy city with not much time for spiritual matters. The Jews in the city were apparently irreligious and materialistic. Amen. Smyrna means mirror. Amen. It means mirror. This represents the period of persecution for the early church. Amen. It was probably the greatest of all histories, persecution, as Satan tried to stamp out the church at its early beginning. Amen. Ooh, and I say that the devil, amen, you know, he has learned that when you persecute, it seems like people grow. Remember in Egypt when Pharaoh tried to persecute the Israelites and how he became hard-pressed, they begin to multiply even more. Amen. Amen. So, amen. So you kind of see the same thing here. When Satan tried to persecute the early church, what did they do? They begin to grow even more. People want to know, man, what was going on with this church here? Why in the world are these folks serving this God? More and more people are coming to these folks are being persecuted, being killed, but yet they are continuing to grow.
Come on.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Revelation, the second chapter, verse 8. Man, the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. So this reaffirmation of Christ's glory were doubtless of much comfort and encouragement of those suffering terrible persecution because he lives and I can face tomorrow. Amen. See, this is what people understand. This is where the one saved, always saved stands up. This is where you stick your chest out. Why? Because here's the thing. If anything will make you change your mind, as if somebody was to put a gun to your head and ask if you believe in God. Amen. But because we have the Holy Spirit in us, and because once saved, always saved, I don't care what type of threat man makes. Because the Bible says only man has the power to destroy the body, but only God has the power to destroy the very soul. So it don't matter when nobody come up and threaten you. They can put a gun to your head. They can threaten to push you off a building. You said, for Christ I live, and for Christ I die. Come on now.
Yeah.
Amen. For we are more than conquerors. Man, y'all going to make me. Let me read that scripture to y'all.
Come on.
Amen. Let's go to Romans the 8th. See, this is what people don't understand. When we say once saved, always saved. This is why Paul wrote what he wrote in Romans the 8th chapter. Verses 31-39. See, what Paul was really saying was it don't matter if somebody threatened to drown you, choke you, shoot you, shove you off a building, shove you off a cliff, run you over by a train. Hey, for God I live and for God I die. Because we can't. Woo! We all we do is multiply. Amen. Amen. We cannot die. They don't understand that because the Spirit of God is in us. And because the Spirit of God is in us, we can't confess anything else. That's why Paul said over in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 3, once you have the Spirit of God in you, you cannot lightly speak against Christ. It is impossible.
Come on, now.
You can't
Come on.
Speak against Christ because why? The Holy Spirit. We are one with Woo! God. That's just like that's like to go against yourself. You can't do it.
Go
the kingdom
yourself.
Of God can't go against the kingdom of God, nor does the kingdom of Satan goes against the kingdom of Satan. See, that's how people don't understand how things in the spiritual realm work. Man, don't get me started. Whoa, man. Now, let me go ahead and read to you what Paul. Hey, they don't
go
understand
ahead,
spiritual things. Because I always teach in church, all things are spiritual first. Then they are what? They are natural. But it has to be spiritual first. Amen. People don't understand that. So you got a lot of folks that are just in the church. Like the brother said earlier, everybody that's in the church that calls themselves a pastor or a preacher ain't saved. Amen. They just up there. They didn't found an occupation. Amen. Amen. That's all they got. They got an occupation. But see, I don't have just occupation. I have salvation. Amen. Watch this, what he says in Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 31. Amen. Before I can return to the brother, 31 through 39.
Go
Amen.
Ahead.
You have to forgive me because sometimes the Spirit get in me, and I have plans and notes to go somewhere else. But the Holy Spirit kick in and say, "Nah, Tim, let's go this direction. Let's give this to the listeners because this is what you need to hear today. Because there ain't no need in you. God said He has not given us the spirit of fear. We don't fear no war. We don't fear no famine. We don't fear no death." Personally, like I said, we don't die, we multiply. We are the saints of God. We are the children of God, amen, and we fear no evil. Come on, watch what it says. It says, what shall we say, then say to these things? Boy, I love Paul. Watch what Paul writes. He said, if God be for us, now don't go that us again, who is us? The saints. Who can be against us? Man, if they let you know that you once you're saved, you're saved. Can't nothing come against you. He said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
All right.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of Yahweh, God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is
Come on.
Even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now watch this. The last five verses are my favorite.
Yes, sir.
Watch what verse 35 says. Who
All right.
shall separate us from the love of Christ? I'm going to say that again. Who can the devil? No. Can the fallen angels? No. Can the demons? No. Can your enemies? No. Can your mama or your daddy? No. Can your brother or sister? No.
Come
can
on.
Your family, your friends, your enemies? Nope. Not even you. That's why Paul asked the question, who, which includes everyone, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's how powerful the love of God is, because nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, if you can't understand, now, if you call yourself a preacher, pastor, teacher, evangelist, a believer, a Christian, a saint, my goodness. Now, if you don't understand it, I've been teaching to children and grown folks for years, and, man, kids understand it the best. I say, man, and they are grown now. And if you can't understand this teaching, oh, my Lord, ain't nothing
now.
We can do with you. And we just have to
yeah,
pray for you and keep it pushing. Amen. Why was it?
Yeah,
who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Watch what he said. Paul said, shall
Come
tribulation?
On.
Or distress, or persecution, or
Woo.
Famine, or nakedness, or pearl, or sword. See, that's the test
Come
of
on.
Your salvation. That's when you
Come
get to test who's really saved, who really love him, versus who's just out here playing in the church. Amen.
Wow.
He has not given us the spirit of fear. Watch what it says in verse 36. As it is written. In other words, it's part of the prophecy. It's part of the Bible. For thy sake, we are what? Killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are what? More than conquerors through him that loved us. For I, watch what Paul said. I love how Paul writes. Paul said, for I am persuaded. Paul said, I have been convinced. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh, which is in Christ, Yahshua, our Lord. Man, it's a powerful message right there in itself, brother. I'm going to give it back over to you for about 15 more minutes and then turn it back over to me. We're going to get ready to shut this thing down. But, man, look at here. If you don't understand that, my gosh, God loves you so much. See, this is when when you love your kids so much and you got the power to protect them and to not ever let them go, can't nobody take them from you. You got the power. God has the power. He said, well, you can make the choice yourself. That makes no sense. That ain't nothing. The Bible, that ain't nowhere in the Bible that God just said that you can separate yourself or that you can lose your salvation. That's why it's called eternal life. There ain't no such thing, no partial life or you may have.
Temporary.
No, no. It's called, temporary life. There you go, brother. No, it's called eternal life. There's no such thing. See, people come with all this. See, that's demonic. That's the devil speaking through you. Don't let the devil use you like that. Go ahead, brother.
All right, man, we got to lay it down. Satan is saying, why in the world these two creatures getting on internet talking about Jesus Christ and his burial, death, and resurrection, and his second coming? Why are they talking about the tribulation period? Why are they talking about being born again? Why are they talking about the millennium reign, the tribulation period, the Antichrist? Why? Because we're going in this territory. See, when you talk Revelation, you're going into territory, and that's the territory he don't like. See, he's trying to defend Revelation like it ain't real, like it ain't true, like it ain't going to happen. Whoa, let's keep on going what we're doing. We're going to get over this corona. We're going to get over this. But let me tell you, after corona, after corona's all over and you don't hear too much about it, guess what you got to deal with next time? You got to deal with Magog and Meshach and Tubal, because this is going to be more devastating than any coronavirus. And now we're standing right on the threshold of World War III.
Come on, doctor.
World War III. What's getting ready to happen? The whole world is getting ready to plunge into a world battle. A battle for what? A battle for dominion and dominion and over the world. Devil said, I want to control mankind. I'm going to take over mankind. And what the preachers are doing, what me and Brother Timothy is doing, we're bringing you some good news. Good news. I mean some awesome news. Awesome news, because we got Galilee. Woo! We got the creator from Galilee. We got the man who made the heaven and earth. We got the man that became flesh. God himself became a man in the flesh to die for our sins, to save our soul, S-O-U-L, life-sustaining, eternal kingdom power. When God seals you with the Holy Spirit, ain't no crackpot, demon or devil can pry it open and take your salvation.
Come on, doctor.
A lot of people can't overcome sin because they're living under a prohibition. They think God is trying them out. He saves you, then he tries you out. And if you don't be successful, amen, he'll put you in hell. Well, you're lying on God.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
I'll give you. Wait a minute. You mean give me what? I'll give you eternal life. What you mean? Jesus Christ said, I'm going to give myself. I'm going to give my life to save your life. I'm going to shed my blood that through the blood I can save you. Because before Christ died, men could not be saved. They were only saved under the law as far as what they believed in before they died. And they only used animals and turtle doves and goats. And that was only a covering. That was only a covering until what? The Redeemer come. See, the Redeemer had to come.
Oh, my God.
Amen.
Christ not only wanted to come, he had to come. Why? Because he loved us so much. He loved you with everything God got. And God got a whole lot. You talk about a whole lot of love. You talk about a whole lot of
love.
Talk about a whole lot of joy. You talk a whole lot of just good things. God will give you the best he got. And when
Amen.
when he gave Jesus Christ to the world, he gave his best. Ain't nobody can do that. Ain't nobody on this planet. No angel,
right.
No cherubim. I ain't talked to none to say that, hey, look, I'll go to the cross for you. I'll suffer. I'll bleed. I'll take all my blood and let it be shed on Calvary's cross, and I'll die, and I'll go on down into hell, and I'll set the captives free and live into those in the captivity, and I'll preach to all the wicked spirits down there. I'll speak to the fallen angels down there. I'll speak to every demonic demon and every cohort of demons that's in hell and in the principality of air, and tell them face to face, I ain't backing up one bit. I'm going to tell Lucifer, I'm going to tell all the other angels, I'm going to tell all the Nephilim, those fallen angels that had cohabitated with the human race and they became demons. I'm going to tell them, and I have to lock up some of them because they're so wicked and so malicious and so crazy that they'll destroy anything that get in their way. So the only time that the Bible tells me is in the book of Revelation, the 9th chapter, he said, I'm going to let loose. I'm going to send an angel down to open the bottomless pit. I'm going to open up this pit, and out of the pit will come wicked scorpions, demonic demons that will sting men on the earth during the tribulation period. You talking about coronavirus. There's some wicked spirits that's going to be set loose in the 9th chapter of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to open the
bottomless pit,
and these wicked spirits are going to come up out of the pit, and they are going to torment men for 5 months, and there's no vaccine that can cure it.
Come on, doctor.
Listen to me, church. Listen to me, preacher. Listen to me, young man. Listen to me, young girl. Don't you go crazy over all this old crazy music and all this old loose living.
Come on,
and all
doctor.
This old dirty, rotten, low-down talking. You can dress and go to your party. You can go to the football game. You can jump up and down. But let me tell you, it ain't going to be that way all the time. It's going to come to a point that you are going to have, if you don't already have, you're going to have to know Jesus for sure during the tribulation period. Because during the tribulation period, it's going to be a stop on go. Either you're going to believe Lucifer, either you're going to believe Jesus Christ. And I got some bad news for those that reject Jesus Christ. The Bible said, and all the world will wonder after the beast. And that beast is the fallen Antichrist that was resurrected from the dead. He becomes the beast. And he's going to demand that every human being, every boy
yes,
and
sir.
Girl, every wicked person, all those that will able to worship him, they're going to have to receive a mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast is literally a computer chip that they're working on right now. And the computer chip came out in 1970. And when they found out, know how to put a chip inside of your hand and be able to track you everywhere you go, they can track you where you go, and they can track you when you go to bed. They can track you on the highway, and they go interject this year computer chip in the middle of the tribulation period. Well, I tell you, you may be jumping and having a whole lot of fun. I'm talking to the young people now. The young people may have a good time. You can have your boyfriends, your girlfriends. You can go to sex parties. You can go to gambling. You can have all kinds of things to do. You can go to party, you can go to church, and then when you get to church, you can go down to your friend's house and go out and have a big ball, but that ain't going to get you there because one day, and I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to be long. You're going to look for me, and I'm going to be gone. And when I go, I'm going to leave you a warning. Whatever you do, don't be a fool. Don't believe that you're not going to die. Don't believe that there's no hell. Don't believe.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. If you don't believe it, you're going to have to pay for your own sins. And the brother already done told you. Hey, if you receive Christ, the only thing you got to do, the least thing you got to do, you got to repent. To be godly sorrow for the sins that you have committed against a holy, righteous God. And God is so holy, he cannot tolerate sin forever. That's why he's going to get rid of it. He's going to eliminate it, and he's going to wipe sin from the face of the earth. Because the Bible said, John said, I saw a new heaven a new earth. The old heaven and the old earth and the old ways of living and the old sins and the old debauchery and the old wars and the old killing and murder is going to be done away with. And I'm going to make a new heaven and a new earth where only what dwelleth? Only righteousness dwelleth.
Amen.
You're talking about having a good time. There ain't going to be no more race riots. No more killing and murder. No more old houses. No more church going. Woo, got church every day now. No more fussing and fighting behind the pulpit. No more lying preachers. No more lying deacons and lying sisters.
That's
no
right.
more fake choir members. No more fake singing. A lot of people singing today don't even know nothing about Jesus Christ. Woo, they can
Come
sing,
on,
but they don't have it in their heart. They got it in their head. They look like a Christian and sing like a Christian, but they don't know nothing about the power of the living God, living a holy, sanctified life and telling the world and not joining the world. I hate the world and the things that are in the world, because if I don't hate the world, guess what? The love of the Father is not in me. And I love the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. I love God more than I love myself. Do you understand what
Amen.
I'm saying? I'm saying people talk about they love God and they hate everything they look at. They talk about everybody. They want to be so much pride and so much self-righteousness. Some folks, well, I don't do this and I don't do this and I do this.
Come on,
doctor. That don't mean a hill of beans. I don't care who you are, young man. And if you
right.
if you're taking up on all this old rock and roll, and you're taking up on this year football, big football celebration this Sunday, and you're going to be out there jumping in, who going to win? What makes the difference with whoever wins, whoever lose? That don't change your soul. That don't prepare you to meet God. Amen. I ain't got nothing against having a love for sports and everything, but when you take sports before you taste God, you got a problem. And what we're trying
right.
to tell you, this evening, and we didn't get it all in because I'm going to give the brother his show. I'm going to give it back to him in the next 5 minutes. All that you see, all that you hear, all the celebration that you see, we're here to tell you absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, we got about 1 year, 1 year left before Christ raptures the church. And the gateway.
Right.
The gateway to I know what the Bible says. I know we're close because the Bible said, 38, 39 chapter, just before Christ comes back to get the church, there is going to be a turbulent war in the Middle East. And who's going to start it? The red horse in the book of Revelation.
Come on.
That red horse represent Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. It ain't nothing new. It was prophesied 2,600 years ago. I wasn't even born. I wasn't even thought of. And when I came on the scene, I still didn't know nothing about it until I got the age to know that the preachers in the church were preaching it when I was a boy, and I heard about Gog and Magog all practice all my life. And I preached about it for over 57 years and told people there's a third world war. Well, I don't have to tell you nothing else no more because it's already here, and we are walking around like nothing is going to happen. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. If it don't happen, you can call me the biggest liar. And then if it don't happen, then you're going to have the nerve enough to call God a lie because Jesus Christ is coming back. And before this war ever get to a full-scale war.
That's right.
The Church of the Living God, oh, my God, not the Baptist Church, not the Presbyterian Church. And I ain't got nothing against the Baptist or Presbyterian. I ain't got nothing against the Catholic Church, but they need to repent just like everybody else because the Pope ain't going to save you. The preacher ain't going to save you. Preaching order going to save you. Ain't no Luciferian going to save you. Jesus Christ is going to save you. But this year is going to be horrific. And people are going to be fighting in the streets for food. Men are going to be breaking into banks. Men are going to go into grocery stores and take food off the shelf and steal. Why? Because they ain't got no money. They ain't got no job. They're shutting down factories. They can't get the trucks through because people don't want to take a vaccination, and I don't blame them. Let the people food be delivered, and there's going to be a family division because families are going to be divided. Jesus Christ said these things are going to happen before I come back to get the church, but after the church, that's where hell, the demons, I'm getting ready to close, the demons out of heaven, the first and second heaven, are going to make a visitation with UFOs. They're coming down here. And some of them are already here. Some of them is in the Vatican. Some of them is in secret society. Some of them is in Luciferian. They are all working for what? To try to better the world. They're in the one world church. You got demons in the one world church. Because if you ain't saved and sanctified, you got a devil. Because you believe what the devil said and reject what Jesus Christ done on Calvary's cross. Woo, my friend. Young man, old man, middle-aged man, black man, white man. Listen, I'm not doing this for health. I'm doing this because God called me to do it. Brother Jackson is not doing this for health. Amen. He's doing it because God called him to do it. Because you're not going to get this in the congregation. You're not going to get it on the church. I had to come out the church in order to preach on the air.
Amen.
Preacher don't want me behind their pulpit. I scare the hell out of them. And that's what they need. And Revelation, if you think about it, it'll scare the hell out of you. Because if you don't get scared, if the hell don't get out of you, guess what? You're going to have to go through it. And the world is getting ready to go through a preliminary of what hell's going to be like. Don't miss the rapture. Don't miss it. Miss anything else, but don't miss the rapture. Jesus Christ. He's getting ready to rapture the church. I believe with 110% he's going to do it this year because of what Russia is getting ready to do. My God, do like Apostle Paul said. Apostle Paul said, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that the loving Christ died for you. And God raised, they said, well, how did God raise Christ up? God raised himself up. That's how he did it. Everybody be kind of confused on that. God raised himself up because he can raise him up and he can put him down. He said, I receive this of my Father. Jesus Christ raised from the dead by God himself and went back to heaven. And he's coming back to get what? A glorious church. There's no reason for you to go to hell except Christ. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. All glory be to the Most High God. Amen. Wonderful word, brother. Amen. And we are just trying to, amen, warn the church, warn those who are lost, amen, to receive this opportunity of salvation. Amen. You can receive it right now. Amen. before it's too late, before the trumpet sounds. Amen. We just want you to receive salvation. Amen. We don't want no one to perish. We don't want no one to suffer. Amen. There's enough suffering going on, amen, in the world now.
Yes,
amen.
It is.
You
yes,
don't
it
want
is.
To be here. Amen. Excuse me. Amen. And you don't want to be here. Amen. When
you don't.
Amen. The unrest is going to be unreal. I mean, there's going to be. You think about. I remember some years ago here recently. It was like within the last 5 years ago. Amen. I got to say this. I remember when in Dallas. It's when I was working a route. We used to do our deliveries overnight. I remember. Something had happened, and this guy, he ended up killing 5 police officers. Amen. I can't remember what happened or how it took place. I don't know how they even was after the guy. But anyway, he ended up killing 5 police officers that night. They say he did, amen. Now, some people have their own theory as to what happened. They say they don't believe it was just him. They believe it was something else going on. But anyway, there was 5 police officers died in one night. And what happened was the next day, over 200 police officers just quit. They just cold turkey just quit. And it was funny because I remember on one of my routes, there was this police SUV used to always be parked in the street at nights when I come through there on my routes. And for about 2 or 3 weeks, he hit his SUV, the police officer. It was kind of funny, but I kind of understood why he did it, you know, because here's the thing. When people get out of hand, police officers, they're going to be able to look to the police officers. We're going to be at war. When this kicks off, Russia is going to be at war. America will be occupied. They're going to need soldiers. They're going to need people to go to war.
Yes,
and
sir.
When the people start to get out, you look at me, and I said that to say this for a reason. I just saw online, before I got on the air, 9 police officers were injured, and 1 woman was killed. The other day, somewhere like a few weeks ago, there were like 3 to 5 police officers was killed. We've never seen this before. I can't remember a time in the past. Amen, brother. Been on this earth, even as a kid, all the way up until an adulthood, over the past 40-something years, I can't remember when you heard multiple police officers being killed like that. That was a tragedy just to hear about one officer being killed. Like, man, you hear about that police officer? That was something that was a talk. You would hardly ever hear that. Now it's becoming commonplace to hear police officers getting killed by the numbers.
Yeah.
And especially in one instance. And so what I'm trying to warn you all that, this is going, you got to understand, people outnumber, especially people who are out here cutting out, they outnumber the police officers. When this thing goes down, what do you think police officers are going to do? They have families. They have wives. They have people that love them, they have children. They're not going to want to die. They're going to be quitting by the dozen. And I can't blame them because I'm going to tell you right now, if I was a police officer and it all goes down and people go to break it in the stores and just stay, how are you going to stop them? They're already shorthanded because most of them don't want to get the vaccine or some of them don't want to get the vaccine. So you're eliminating them that way. The war is going to eliminate even more men and more people. Okay,
yes,
so who's going to have to stop this civil unrest in the country? Not only just in America, but all over the world is going to be chaos.
All over the world,
especially after the church is gone. You're talking about hundreds of millions of people gone in a blink of an eye. All over the planet. Chaos alone. That people going to be, the loved ones going to be gone, the children are going to be gone, food is going to be scarce. It's going to be chaos. On a level that you can't even imagine.
Come on, preacher,
Yes. So people are mad. You can't call on the military because the military is already sending troops to fight. You can't call the police officers because they're like, hey, man, I ain't getting paid enough to sit there and put my life on the line and die for this foolishness. So you have people quitting there. Hey, man, I know you have someone that's going to try to do the best they can to stay. But at the end of the day, amen, the point that I'm making is that when all this breaks out, and not only that, you have to also add the spiritual element. There are things in Revelation that John didn't even share with us. We already talked about the demons that have come out of
there.
So you got to add the spiritual element. Man, it's going to be unreal. It's going to be real. Tribulation is going to be unreal, but real. And there ain't nothing you could do. Amen. Ain't nothing you could do to prepare for that. You can't hide. You can't hide deep enough. You can't run fast enough. You can't go up high enough. There's nowhere that you can go to escape. You go into the deep jungles, evil is going to be there. You can go into the deep sea. You definitely don't want to go into the sea because the evil is going to be there. Ain't nowhere you can go. You can't go into the earth. Satan and the aliens up there in the earth. You can't run.
Come on, preacher.
The only way you're going to escape what's coming to this planet is through confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. And when them trumpets sound, that's what the word gathering together, caught up, rapture means. It means to be snatched up. That's look it up. That's what it interprets me, to be snatched up.
And
God is going to yank the church, his children. He's going to snatch us up off the planet and say, let's go. And
let's
got 7 years that Satan, the Antichrist, demons, fallen angels, whatever wicked thing that you can imagine, going to have control for 7 years. And not only that, Christ is going to rain down with the bowls, the seals, the thunders, things that haven't even been revealed to us.
Come on, preacher.
So much, amen, that's going to happen in that last 7 years of Satan's rule. Now, that's the end of Satan's rule, the 7 years. So you know Satan is going to come with it. Because he knows that's it. That's the end of his rule. And he's going to be locked up for 1,000 years. So, man, they're going to come with every evil, unimaginable thing to this planet. And you think you want to be here? You think you want to be cool and walk around with 666 and worship the devil? Oh, man, they're going to turn you out. Yeah, you're going to worship them all right. And they're going to turn you out. Then they're going to take, then after you die, death is going to take your soul to hell. Then you're going to perish in hell until the great white throne judgment. And after Christ judge you, and if your name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, the angels are going to hoist you up and throw you over and cast you into the lake of fire. And if that's what you want, Lord, have mercy on your souls. All I can do is pray for you. Brother, go ahead and take us out. Amen. Give us some salvation. Let them know, brother. Amen. Go ahead and take us out. We'll be back with y'all on Wednesday night. Amen.
All right. Glory to God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord for giving us the opportunity. These next 5 minutes, we want to invite you, amen, to the cross. No, don't come to me. Amen. Go to the cross. Don't go to your mama, your daddy.
Right.
Go
amen.
To the cross. Amen. Don't go down to the beer joint. Don't go down to the whorehouse. Go to the cross. Don't have to go to
That's
church.
Right.
Just go to the cross. Amen. I ain't got nothing against church, but let me tell you, if you leave this planet, even if you don't leave and you go through the tribulation, when the tribulation hit, it's going to be hell on top of hell on this earth.
Yes,
you ain't going to have no
peace. Yes, sir.
You ain't going to keep walking through the day. You ain't going to know who's going to attack you.
That's right.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to not leave you with nothing. I'm going to send 144,000 Jews, and then I'm going to send two witnesses during the seven-year tribulation. The first part of the tribulation will be the 144,000. They will preach that Jesus Christ is coming back again. They will preach Jesus Christ is coming back again to the earth to set up his millennial kingdom, and they would do that for 1,260 days. And I want some good news. Here's some good news here. Many people will get saved all over the world through the preaching of the 144,000, and many will get saved during the preaching of Moses and Elijah. So I warn you, the word of God warn you. God loves you. He don't want to see you lost. He don't want to see you go to the tribulation period. But if you don't get that ticket, if you don't get that train, if you don't go by the cross, amen. Don't run away from the cross. Go to it. Lean on it. Depend upon it. Blood streaming down. And in that blood is righteousness. In that blood is power to take sin out of you that you can become a child of God. And it's as simple as ABC. The devil all through the church age, the devil has tried to make it so so difficult to receive Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You got
that's right.
You can't do. You can't go here. You can't go there. What, before you
Come
even
on.
Think about where you can go, what you need to do is just repent.
That's right.
Don't worry about John the Baptist. He can come tell me you can go to a bridge John after you get saved. Don't you worry about going to a bridge
on,
because the Spirit will guide you and lead you in the right places. Amen.
Tell
if you
them.
Go to a bridge John doing your thing, you ain't got no business to be there. And if you're under the power of the Holy Spirit, it will convict you until you get out of there. Go to
That's
go
right.
to a
come
place.
On.